Dear listener, we accept the fact that you have to sacrifice a whole hour to listen to whatever it is we're about to do wrong, and what we will do is wrong. You see us the way you want to see us, in the simplest of terms, in the most convenient definitions, but we found out that each one of us is a brain.
An athlete.
A princess.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Geek Movie Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Geek Movie Club, episode 4, yeah, I think.
That'll do.
The podcast that likes movies a lot. I don't know, I didn't think of one this week.
And there's some kind of glove and a geek.
There's some kind of whatever. Look, my head is all over the place because we might be having to move soon. Actually, no, we will be having to move soon, which is a pain in the ass. I'm Dave McVeigh.
I'm Richard Gray, and I'm not moving.
And I'm Katniss Everdeen. No, I'm Dave Longo. I'm back.
And Longo is back. Okay, so this is Geek Actually's regular, kind of irregular movie podcast.
That's the way we like it.
Has actually been weekly for 3 weeks in a row now.
Which is pretty impressive.
So we're taking next week off?
Yeah, I think so.
And the week after.
This week we are going to finally talk about, in detail, Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Oh, I've forgotten that.
Now that Longo is back, we're going to talk a little bit about television, as we always do. Do you have Doctor Who moments for us this week?
Of course I do.
Excellent. We've got a journey through time on that. So let's kick this off and find out how we all doing, guys.
Really good.
Yeah.
How are you, Dave?
I'm not bad. I got the news yesterday that we are going to have to move, which means the studio has to move with it.
And not just actually get up and move every now and then. We do a lot of sitting.
Damn, I thought that's what he meant.
David means Dorchie, you're going to have to start moving.
I was going to buy a treadmill.
Well, I bought a truck, so we're good.
Right? So I was just thinking, we've done all this work cleaning up the studio and getting it all perfect just in time to pack it all up and move to another location. So we'll keep you informed as we're going, but that means that there probably will be a week off sometime in January while we actually relocate everything. But
Geek Movie Club is going on the road.
It's going on the road, people.
Vacation!
So that was my news. I found that out yesterday,
road.
Which is a bit of a pain. Richard, what's been up with you?
Nothing much.
Okay, cool. And
not much, but I saw Anchorman 2.
Oh, can you talk about it yet?
A classic. I can talk about it.
Fantastic.
I would just say really briefly that I think it's better than the first one.
Okay, before you go any further, I think we should go into
quickly.
I think we should go a little bit into what we've been watching this
by
week.
By the hymen of Olivia Newton-John.
I believe we do have a clip for this.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
Excellent.
Excellent, Wazowski.
Actually, speaking of excellent, am I the only one who thinks that the new Simpsons season is flat?
Yes. I've thought that for about 15 years, David.
I think you're the only one, because it is amazing.
You almost had me fooled for a minute there.
He had that look on his face, like when he's being sincere.
I know.
I'm never going to trust him again.
I just find I've been watching this season, I think it's because of my Tapped Out obsession.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been watching this season every week, and I'm not laughing.
The writing is better in Tapped Out than it is in the show.
Yes. Yeah. I think the fact that they're making fun of themselves in Tapped Out is what is the most fun about that game. They're not making fun of themselves on the series anymore.
No, and the funny thing is, the less funny thing is, the show has been very much for the last 15 years that they've stopped doing getting in guest stars and having them playing other people. It's like, hey, look, it's Lady Gaga. You know, and there's no comedy around it. It's kind of like, oh, she's doing something funny. There's no cleverness to the
jokes. There used to be when you watch The Simpsons and you hear the celebrity, and then you watch the end credits and go, oh my God, it really was him.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, they'd get in someone like, you know, the equivalent of Lady Gaga to play, you know, Bart's new girlfriend or something or whatever, you know. Now it's kind of like it's just stunt casting. They're really desperate. Apparently they're doing a bunch of stunt episodes this year, like another animated show, but we'll talk about that in a
moment. We'll come back to that one in a moment. Speaking of The Simpsons, the clone of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny with The Simpsons too. The couch gags have been pretty good this year though, like surprisingly.
But that's it. Once the couch gag has happened, you feel like you could turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if the credits of the show are better than the rest of the content.
Yes.
And it's getting shorter and shorter too because of networks and stuff. They only have to fill in 20 minutes rather than, you know, 22 or 25 minutes. Now they only have to fill in 19, 20 minutes worth of, you know, the half hour block.
Yeah. In particular, this week's episode with the musical intro was brilliant. Mm. I mean, that was so clever. It wasn't particularly funny, but it was incredibly clever with all characters as musical instruments. I started watching that going, I'd rather watch this than like, the rest of the episode.
There's a discussion that I have all the time with friends, which is like, you know, the show's been going for how many years now?
25.
25 years. And it's like, everybody keeps saying, it's time they ended it. It's time they ended it. How do you end The Simpsons?
Yeah.
What story do you do to end The Simpsons?
Because there is no, like every day, it's like, I was talking to someone on radio the other morning and they were saying, yeah, because every episode effectively takes place on the same day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. why don't they just end it and then do one
more
super
movie.
Duper movie to wrap the whole
thing
up?
But that's the question. What
super
do you
duper
do in the movie?
Cartoon movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you do in the movie?
Well, I mean, who could see what they did like, last time coming?
Yeah, you know what I reckon? This would be a great movie. This would be a great movie if someone finally worked out that Simpsons, the clock resets every day and that only certain historical events hold, like, you know, Apu's marriage and his kids. And people are going, but didn't something else happen that we've all forgotten about? And then the quest is to work out why this happens, and that brings all of Springfield to a close.
It's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day, and then by the end of the movie, they're at a point where they can go on, and we imagine they're having more adventures elsewhere. That's, you know, that's how you do it. Lots of ongoing things have ended, but, you know, how did you end MASH? They ended MASH with, you know...
Well, the war ended.
But the series went on...
Longer than the war.
But it was something that they could have kept going on.
Sure,
forever.
But they had an end point because they could say, okay, we've extended this out, but now we can have an end of war
episode.
Or
Star Trek. How about Star Trek? It's because, you know, with the exception of Voyager, where they had a goal, every other series has been, let's just see what's out there. Conceivably, you could keep going forever.
Let's phrase it this way. Say you're hired to write the final episode. You're hired to write it. What do you do?
Do you know what I would do?
Bart's gay.
Here's an idea for you.
Homer's actually been a really clever homicidal maniac.
Here's an episode for you. This is what I'd like to see. You end the series, you go into a film, and in that film what you have is you have, over the course of the length of the film, you have a period of years. And you actually have the children grow up, and you have them move out of home, and you could basically end it with an older Marge,
and they
older
go back
Homer.
To teach at Hogwarts. Sorry, no,
you could have an older Homer and older Marge basically sitting at the house, basically going, "Our children are all grown up; they're all done, and now we get to have the rest of our lives." You know what I mean? It's like you could basically end it by having the kids leave.
You could actually have one of them like their next birthday. It'd be like, you know, Bart's 11th birthday or something.
Exactly.
Or,
you just show
Maggie turns
a progression of years.
Yeah.
To basically say all those 25 years where the kids never aged, now we can suddenly show the growing up and the moving out of home and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And it may not be particularly
because we're flashed forward every now and then.
Yeah, so we kind of know where they're going. We just need to see it actually happen. I don't know.
Be a really sweet ending. Because, you know, the thing with The Simpsons is what they don't do anymore. You used to have episodes where it'd be like the end of the episode would be Homer and Lisa walking off hand in hand with sweet music. And you'd kind of go... Oh, that's why I watched The Simpsons.
And that was the most amazing thing about The Simpsons. No matter how subversive it ever got, no matter how harsh it ever got, it was always came back in the very last minutes of the episode to family values.
And it was always about The Simpsons. It's about everybody else. Now it's like you'll have one of those moments and then a punchline. Hmm. And it's kind of like, no, you can end on a sweet moment. You used to be able to end on a sweet moment. Now it's like, if we don't on the edgy moment, we're going to lose the audience. It's like,
I just think its expiry date is up.
I hear kids on the bus sometimes. And we'll talk about this when we get to Hunger Games as well. But I hear kids on the bus every now and then going, "Oh, have you watched The Simpsons? Have you heard of The Simpsons? Did you watch that?
Have you heard of The Simpsons?"
No, but for them, it's like, because it's been running for 25 years. We've been watching it since the beginning. But for them, it's kind of like it's a new discovery. Like if you find it now, it's hard to because Channel 10 plays it erratically and whatever. I think they play the old episodes.
Can you imagine just walking in and buying season 5?
Yeah.
Your head would explode.
Yes,
it's one of the finest things ever created. Yeah. It's like,
and that was your first exposure to The Simpsons. You just go, here's seasons 4 through 6. I'll see you on the other side.
I like to keep a lollipop there.
I actually saw someone posted that picture this morning on Facebook. And I sometimes I keep a lollipop there. But
real ass.
Let's talk about the subversive younger cousin of The Simpsons.
Yeah, let's talk about Family Guy, because this is another show that's clearly been struggling with the ratings. So much show. So that it's actually been cancelled twice at least along the way, and then revived because of DVD sales.
Yep.
And it's a show that's got an audience. It always was the subversive cousin of The Simpsons, although I think The Simpsons in its heyday was far more subversive without being as crude.
For the Family Guy is more blatant than The Simpsons.
You know, and they deal with their cutaways, and they're always like Helen Keller jokes or, you know, things like that. Things that are sometimes obvious. I really like The Family Guy, though. At its peak, I think there's some really fun stuff in there.
Yeah, I agree.
But they've always had some sweet moments, too. There's always sweet moments between Brian and Stewie. They hate each other, but they're always kind of secretly, you know, really best friends.
Yeah.
And which makes this week's episode all the more heartbreaking, but not for the obvious reasons.
Yeah, this is we're going to talk spoilers.
Massive spoilers, but it's been headline kind of.
I heard about it.
I heard about it as a headline before.
And
watching
I watch it,
yeah.
it every week.
Somebody's mail just came in.
It wasn't mine.
apologies.
That was the thing about it. This week, okay, spoilers. Everybody who's meant to be out of the room, children, cover your ears.
Maybe jump ahead a few minutes if you really don't.
We're going to talk about the fact that deep breaths. They killed off Brian the dog,
which is insane.
And look, Brian's probably one of the better characters on there because he is. Well, he's us. He's the voice of reason a lot of the time, except the fact that he's a pretentious novelist as well. So maybe
and sometimes junky.
And sometimes a junkie. But but he's a lot of the time he is more the voice of reason than anybody else. The way they did it too was such a cynical way of doing it. There wasn't sort of like a nice moment towards the end of the episode. He died, and they all kind of had to deal with that. And that would have been like this downer of an ending within the course of one episode. Stewie and Brian have traveled through time. They've realized that something's gone wrong. They've fixed it. Stewie destroys his time machine. Immediately afterwards, they go to play. They're going to say, hey, let's just go play in the street. Brian gets run over by a car in a horribly mangled kind of way. And it looks.
And the car is like going at like 4,000 kilometers an hour. Like.
And they can't help but run gags all throughout the time he's going to the vet and stuff as well. And they're all sitting around, they go, you know, finally Lois is like, now Brian is dead, you know, and then they're all weeping and stuff, and someone makes another gag then,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, there is a gag.
And then it's it, Brian's dead, and it's like everyone kind of tries to move on, and they get a new dog, and Stewie's outraged because he said, you've forgotten him already, and then eventually he bonds with the new dog. Who's this kind of guy who talks like this, you know?
It's got
this.
So in other words, Seth really wanted to do a new voice.
New voice. He's kind of got, you know, it's like Andrew Dice Clay has joined the cast. You got this fat guy over here. Hey, yo. You know, it is like that. It's literally. This
you know
guy
what it feels like? Remember Poochie in The Simpsons?
It is.
Yeah.
It's like that happening.
It's literally
for real,
Poochie.
Without any meta stuff to it. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, behind the scenes, they've actually got. People have said he's only contracted for 6 episodes, this new guy. So people are like. You know, the guy that's playing the. So
it's not Seth.
It's not even Seth. They've contracted this other guy.
So, in other words, Seth wanted to do one less voice.
One less voice, yeah. So, they've contracted this guy to do 6 episodes, which people are going to think, okay, Brian's coming back in 6 episodes somehow. Like, Stewie can repair. He's not. You know, he'll remake his sandwich
like
or something.
Seth MacFarlane left the show or anything like that.
No, so like.
That's the one thing that really annoys me. It's like, he's not. Like, it's not a contractual thing where the.
Yeah,
actor
Seth
has
can't
to leave
the show.
Or,
he's 5 of the voices.
It's just like. And the executive producer.
It's almost like they heard The Simpsons were going to kill someone this year and they're like, we got to do it.
Quickly, you know? Yeah.
Like, but the way it's done, like, I agree 100% with you, Richard.
I felt,
it's not that they kill Brian, it's
I felt
how
a
they
little
do
bit.
It.
Like yeah. I was watching it, because I've watched the show for its 10, 11 years or whatever. And, you know, when Brian dies, you kind of feel something. You can't, you'd be inhuman if you didn't. And it's kind of like, oh, and particularly, you know, some of Stewie's reactions to it are quite heartfelt. But most of it doesn't feel, it feels cold.
Yeah.
Like, it feels consciously manipulative when it's trying to be emotional. And then casually dismissive moments later, which is kind of the Family Guy thing. It's like, let's brush over serious moments, you know, really quickly. But not the time. And it doesn't feel like it's going to stick. And if it does, then he's gone out on one of the worst deaths ever. So I'm a little annoyed with the show this week. And I think that they've asked people, you know, this is meant to be if it is a stunt, it's a stunt to get more audience, at least for that episode. If I think ironically they're actually going to lose audiences because I think there was a 90,000 strong petition of people who were like, bring back Brian, I'm not watching the show until he bring him back. So I mean, if that's, people aren't going to watch the show if
they're
their favorite
happy.
Characters aren't
yeah,
in
yeah.
there, you know.
I'm not happy.
So
look, I haven't seen it yet and I'm now wary to actually go
yeah that, and look so. Normally we'd make jokes about something like this, but fuck these guys. I mean, like, it's really like...
Because if they did it, if they had done it successfully...
We would be sitting here going, that was an amazing moment in television history. You know, that's fantastic. That's edgy television. That's Family Guy being edgy. But no, this is Family Guy being a follower rather than a leader. Like, exactly what you said.
Like, hell, like, you know, like, why not just give him, like, a serious illness?
Mm.
Like, the way that it was done was so, like, oh, he's just a dog. What if a car hits him? You know, like, it's very, it's not even thought out, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't even like, you know, this is, you got Brian as a character who's, as you said, an alcoholic and a junkie sometimes and a troubled writer. What if he killed himself?
Mm.
You know, what if it was something like that? Then they could
make it more tragic in that sense.
Well, they could tackle two issues at once and then, you know, be the edgy comedy that's about real life that they, you know, they reckon that they are, but they're not.
Well, that's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame when the mighty falls. Like, The Simpsons being flat, this is actually kind of flat as well. It's not working the way it is. And you just kind of look at it and go, the mighty are falling. But that leaves...
I mean, Futurama called it quits, and I think that was wise.
I don't know if they actually called it quits or they were kind of pushed out the door. But yeah, that's a whole different issue.
At least they have the good sense to do, you know, like, let's do a really beautiful... wrap up to it.
Yeah, they were told in advance. So
have you guys seen that final episode?
No, I actually didn't see any of that last season.
Nor have I, actually.
That last episode is magnificent.
I've got to have a look at that season.
I needed to rant about that, so I'm glad you're on the same page. So.
No, that's good. We're open forum to do this sort of stuff. The other thing we do on this show is we've been talking about the fall season of television, where we've been kind of giving overviews. I think now that we're halfway through the season, we're reaching the season breaks for a lot of these shows.
Yeah, we are.
I thought what we would do
for it's Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought what we'd do for the next few episodes is spotlight just certain shows.
Yeah.
In particular, shows where we kind of watched an episode and said, yeah, that's kind of cute, but then we left it behind. And now we can go back and catch up. And did it actually get better? Did it hold off? You know,
I know what you're talking about. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still crap.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't qualify because we've been watching it every week.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't do it. But one of the shows I did mention a few weeks back was a show called Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think probably one of my favorite themes of this year for television, hands down. Just terrific stuff. Now, I'm not, as I said at the very beginning, when we first looked at this this series, I'm not a huge fan of Sandberg, who's the star of the show. I find him a little bit grating. I find him a little bit irritating. And I thought, boy, a whole series based around him is going to be just a nightmare. However, I've now gone and caught up on the 9 episodes that have screened so far. And I think it's really interesting when you do go and binge on a show like that, where suddenly you hit the end of the ones you've got and you go, ooh, I want another one. I want another one. Mostly because you want to hear the theme again.
it's a funky theme.
Man. It's a funky theme. But what actually makes this show work is not Sandberg. Sandberg is okay, and they're actually kind of toning him down a little bit, which is good. But it's the surrounding cast around him. And the closest I can equate this series would be saying it's kind of like, not as well done, but kind of like Scrubs. In the sense that it's a comedy, but it puts itself in kind of this real world scenario. So you've got real, you know, they're out chasing criminals and stuff like that, but they're also just insane, all of them. But in particular, Andre Brower plays their captain, who is this absolutely stoic, by the book captain who's come into their precinct and doesn't take crap from anybody, basically. I brought in two clips for you. This is from, I think it's episode 4 or 5, where basically all the cast members are talking about the fact that they're having trouble reading the new captain as to his emotions. And I brought in two clips. So this is clip number 1. So this is them saying they're having trouble reading the captain.
There's something wrong with the captain. It seems like he's in a bad mood.
I don't know. Who could tell? You all right, Captain? Tough weekend?
I went to Barbados with my husband. We wove hats out of palm fronds and swam with the stingrays. I've never been happier.
I've never been happier. And on the flip side of that, you have this one.
Can you please draw a perp for me? The sketch artist is out sick and the captain wants this done right away. He's in a bad mood.
Is he? I can never read him.
You look chipper, Captain. You have a fun weekend? There was a small fire in my home. I lost many photo albums of treasured memories. I'm devastated.
He is the highlight of the show.
That's great, because I remember him from Homicide: Life on the Streets as Pembleton.
Oh, right.
And it's interesting to hear him kind of taken as an extreme version of that character.
And he's like that in everything. There's actually one episode, one of the more recent episodes, he actually grins at one point, and you go, ooh, there's an emotion.
I'll definitely catch up on that one.
Definitely worth having a look at. He's given at Thanksgiving, they're given a speech. She's going to, there's one straight as an arrow cop, and she writes this speech because she's really trying to make the captain like her. And he gets hold of the speech, and at the very end, he gives it back to her. He goes, I saw your speech. It was very nice. I've highlighted some inconsistencies with the spelling and the grammar of these points. And she's like, he corrected me. So, look, I do recommend having a look at Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It is actually a lot of fun. It's not going to be ever. I think if you are a Sandberg fan, this is going to be the greatest show ever made. Yeah. If you're not a Sandberg fan, bear with it, because some of the characters around him are well worth having a look at. But that's enough for television. Longo, please tell me about Anchorman 2.
Oh, well, where do you begin?
First, well, usually in the opening credits.
I'll begin with a quote from the film, okay?
Okay.
By the hymen of Olivia Newton-John. So if you find that funny.
I don't. I'll see you guys later.
Look, if you're not a fan of Will Ferrell or the first Anchorman, don't go.
Funny thing is, I'm not a fan of Will Ferrell, but I like the first Anchorman.
Oh, well, do you like Will Ferrell in the first Anchorman?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, this movie takes the absurdity of the first Anchorman and multiplies it like 100 times. And I'll just say...
Because the first one was pretty absurd.
You wait for it.
Yeah.
I'll tell it this way. There's a moment halfway through the movie where you'll see a lighthouse. And that's the moment where the movie turns into something absolutely batshit and mind-blowingly brilliant. And there's a scene towards the end which is just one for the books. But, like, I don't want to hype it up too much because, obviously, like, you want to go in and get the surprise of the film. But for me, it was just absolutely impeccable.
When does it open here? Do we know?
I think the 20th of December. Okay, it's a little way out.
Yeah, I have to definitely see this film. We may have to talk about this on the show, I think.
I think so, yeah. We'll just spend an hour quoting it.
Now, you also had a chat with the director.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I went to the premiere of the film here in Sydney. And the next day, I went to the junket and interviewed Adam McKay. And I have a little clip here. It's a hard thing to do with Anchorman because so much of the jokes and what makes the movie great is a surprising thing. You know, you want to go in there and feel it for the first time. So I can say things like Dobie and you won't know what it is. But like in a month's time, you'll go, oh man, that's the best bit of the film. You know, you know, but I've put a clip here from the interview and the interview will be up closer to the release date. But here you go. Just a quick note though, I have beeped out some spoiler elements.
Okay, cool.
It's pretty open-ended question how I have it phrased. Like, how did you get away with it? Because you've had this, like, you know, 8-year gap between the last one and these struggles to get it greenlit and get it made. Do you walk in the studio and go, okay, we're going to have Harrison Ford... And then, like, how did you get away? Like, after all this time, like, trying to get it, and then...
Well, one of the great things about comedy is it doesn't always compute to sort of studio mechanics... So they have to trust you at a certain point. And the other great thing was that we had Adam Goodman as our executive, who was on the first movie.
Yep.
So he trusted us quite a bit. However, in that case, he did say something. He's like, are you sure about this? And I was like, you know what? We'll shoot it. If it doesn't work, you can cut it. But yes, I'm pretty sure about it. So the whole fun of Anchorman, the first one and this one, is every day you're on set saying, how are we getting away with this?
Yeah.
How possibly do we have all these professionals... all this equipment, and all these people standing around while we're shooting this, and it's, you know, Will Smith, Harrison Ford, right? Like, how did mankind's evolution, you know, come to this point that this is happening? And that the whole movie is kind of a prank in that sense, that, like, you can't believe you're actually doing it.
Okay. Oh, what the hell is Harrison Ford doing?
Sorry for the beeps, but when you see what Harrison Ford... Yeah, trust me.
Oh, like, in my mind, it involves a donkey. But...
It's infinitely better than that. And this is not hyperbole, because maybe I'll spoil it for you after the show. I'll tell you.
Now, okay, can you tell us, I mean, can we just go into this just a little bit? We've got a little bit of time up our sleeve here. Adam McKay is quite a hero of yours.
Yes, absolutely. For a long time, like with the first Anchorman movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's more to do with, like, Funny or Die, the website that he started, you know, as a way to sort of showcase online new talent. and just the work he does with his production company, Gary Sanchez, like producing smaller known films. He's known for discovering Jody Hill and Danny McBride with a film called The Fist Foot Way.
Yep, yep.
And it's that kind of thing. It's like he's a filmmaker that actually is interested in younger talent.
So it's not so much his films as such as a lot of his behind the scenes
stuff.
Well,
it's his films too and his sense of humor. Like, yeah. That's like very close to my own sense of humor, that absurdity and that ability to still have brilliant writing underneath the stupid jokes.
Right.
But that's pretty much it. It's like he's a hero for what he stands for and what he does for other filmmakers.
See, for me, Adam McKay has always just been a director of comedies. You know, it's like I didn't.
That's the great thing. Like, you know, I also asked him about The Boys, which you can see in behind the panels. The other show, a clip that we played.
Yeah, we've got an exclusive clip over there at Behind the Panels. Yeah.
Ooh, but which you can find at behindthepanels.net. Yeah.
But this is another one of those filmmakers that is in a box. You know, they're known for their comedies, but they obviously have
not a glass case of emotion.
Well, yeah, but if you look at the fight scene in the first Anchorman, right?
Yeah,
and then you compare that to the chases in the other guys.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly, you know, a very talented filmmaker that
understands
this kind of stuff. And actually, him wanting to do The Boys is a really good example of someone wanting to break out of that mold, you know?
That would be amazing.
Actually. This was a guy who was the head writer for Saturday Night Live for about 8 years, you know, during the golden time.
Yeah.
He's responsible for Tina Fey becoming the head writer. Like, he's responsible for a lot of things that you wouldn't really know.
Interesting.
You
know? Mm. Interesting. A lot of behind the scenes stuff I wasn't aware of, so that's interesting.
Yeah. But holy shit, Anchorman 2, just to wrap it up, I haven't laughed that hard in a long, long time.
Mm. Okay, I tell you what, people, when Anchorman 2 comes out, we'll all go see it and we'll bring it to you. We'll have a chat to chat.
We should get, I mean, there should be media screenings. Like, that was the premiere screening, but if it's not coming out until December 20th, we should be getting media screening very soon.
Yeah, very soon. I'll keep an eye open for that. The other thing we're going to talk about this week is The Hunger Games. Now, The Hunger Games Catching Fire came out last week. We did talk a little bit about it last week.
On the Day of the Doctor special.
On the Day of the Doctor special. But we wanted to wait until Longo was here to actually talk about it formally, basically. So here's a little bit of the trailer. I'm not going to bore you with the whole trailer because it is visual. But here's a little bit of the trailer just to give you a taste.
You understand that whatever I do, it comes back to you and Mom. I don't want you to get hurt.
Since the last games, something's different. I can see it.
What can you see?
Hope.
So that's a little bit of the trailer for The Hunger Games. To go into it in great detail, you'd have to get into like lots of musical montage sequences and so forth, which don't relate well to radio. So,
we've got to get over that hill.
We talked about this last week. Both Richard and I talked about the fact that we were very surprised by the first Hunger Games. It was better than we thought it was going to be. I don't think either of us thought it was the best film ever made, but it was a good entertainment that came along and we went, wow, that was actually far better than it deserved to be.
I actually was sitting on the bus yesterday and I heard, or maybe it was Friday, and I heard these three kids rating the film at the back of the bus. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but hey, have you seen The Hunger Games yet? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, man, it was so boring. I thought the movie was so boring. There was like an hour on, you know, the train sequence? Yeah, I know the train. Yeah. So, like, it was like an hour of that, like 10 minutes of fighting, and then like 20 minutes of some other stuff, and that was it. Have you read the books? Yeah, I've read all the books. The first one's the best, and the second one's shit. And then the third one's pretty good, but not as good as the first. So so just to give you an idea of the demographic. So, you know.
Future rocket scientists.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
They're going to be in control. Or scarier, they're going to be driving the buses that we're on.
Funnily enough, the stuff that
they probably go home and go, Mama, Papa, what's for tea?
Funnily enough, exactly what the kids found boring in this film is exactly what I liked about this film, was I thought the build-up to it was actually my favorite part of the story. I thought, we've already done The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
It was kind of retreading territory to do the games again.
Yeah, I kind of wanted them to get through The Hunger Games bit and back to the...
back to the intrigue and the rising rebellion and all
what was
the
happening
things.
In the other districts and all that kind of stuff. But we talked about that last week. Mr. Longo, what did you think of the film?
Yeah, I really liked it too. Pretty much the same as you guys. Like
the first movie...
The first movie I thought was pretty average, really.
Like, no, I actually like the first film. No, I like the first
I just think
film.
It was shot so badly.
I'll give you that.
I think the filmmaking on the first one is actually really shoddy. Mm.
In my review for the first one, I called it like one of the worst shot films I've ever seen in a cinema. Because
No idea how to do handheld at all.
Absolutely. And you look at Francis Lawrence, the new director of this one, and it improves dramatically.
I think,
you know? It's a classy looking film, this one.
Like, well, this is the man who did direct Constantine, and whatever your opinions of the ending of I Am Legend, it's a slick looking film, you know?
That movie works all the way up until the last 10, 15 minutes, I think.
And even the alternate ending doesn't work that well.
Because it's missing the point. It's like, maybe they should have called it We Are Legend.
Yeah. You know,
but,
like,
but this is Francis Lawrence also did Water for Elephants.
Mm.
So it's someone who has got a much better understanding of cinema and character.
He did World War Z as well, didn't he?
No, Mark Forster.
He also did the 4 episodes of Kings, and he's and Touch. He did the pilot for Touch, and he's signed on for the 2 Mockingjay films as well. So,
Mark. Yeah.
What was that?
That's from Dumb and Dumber.
Right. How's that for a reference?
That's right, yeah, it was a bit of a weird pull, but yeah.
Oh, so, he actually did a whole lot of music videos as well. He's done stacks of music videos.
So as much as he changed Constantine a lot from the comic book, I really liked his adaptation.
Have any of you guys read the Hunger Games books?
Or? No, I haven't. My son has.
Yeah.
He really liked
it. Did Nikki go to see...
Hello. We just cleaned up the studio.
Did he go and see Catching Fire?
Not yet. He had to go to camp this weekend, so he hasn't actually had a chance to see it yet, but he really wants to.
Yeah, fair enough. Because I'd be interested to see what someone like in that demographic actually feels about it.
Well, he really liked
the first one. I just told you what people in that demographic.
Yeah, he really liked the first one. He really thought... In fact, it was the first film that made him want to read the books.
Yeah.
So, and he went and read the books after that. I'm not sure if he's actually read the third book. He's read the first two. So he's read Catching Fire, though.
I got to say, though, when I came out of the first Hunger Games, I was really dreading this one. But now, now watching the second one, I'm actually excited for, you know, the third one.
Can I talk about the technicals for a moment and just basically say that the IMAX presentation, because we saw it in IMAX.
That was the best bit.
Yeah, see, I wasn't overly thrilled with it.
I thought it looked a bit blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The IMAX footage was... amazing.
No, it was soft.
There's two of us and one of you, so we're clearly
fair
right.
enough.
What I actually found is I've got to say I'm not.
We're gonna have a Hunger Games right now. May the odds be.
You
in
sure
your
got a pretty mouth, boy.
Squeal.
There's a mashup I want to see.
Hunger
Deliverance. Ding 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 ding.
That's instead of the whistles.
The three fingers, my banjo playing fingers.
Or something
you
else.
You got a purdy mouth.
These are the only three fingers I got left.
Can I just say that the IMAX presentation, so the way that they dealt with this at IMAX was you watch the whole film, and then as soon as they enter the games, the screen opens up and you go into IMAX. And then when they leave the games... it comes back down to normal.
TikTok.
It's just a nice touch.
It's a nice idea. The problem that I had was that the film... I have a problem, and I think you're... Richard's in agreement with me on this because we've discussed it before. I don't like cinema films, feature films.
I don't like cinema films either.
At IMAX.
I decided
that I don't think IMAX
is longer than 45
the
minutes.
Ideal... I don't think IMAX is the ideal... viewing environment for drama.
No.
I think it works beautifully for like nature documentaries and all the things that they want to do that are shot in that crystal clear IMAX footage.
Occasionally, you know, I've got to say, when I saw Avengers at IMAX, and I only saw that in IMAX because they were playing it back-to-back with Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, man.
But there's IMAX footage shot for that. It's just a big projection.
But it just looked really good. But other ones, I've thought, why am I here? I could, and then I've watched them later on a regular screen and gotten more.
And I quite frankly hate IMAX 3D. I'm not a fan of it. IMAX 3D, I find the field of vision is really limited. Yeah. So as soon as you turn your head in any direction, you get double images.
Yeah, that's actually true. That's very true.
I hate IMAX 3D. And I don't like the IMAX design of the theater. I think the raking is too high, and I don't think that you actually feel too close to the screen, which is good, once again, for those big nature flybys where you feel like you're in the Grand Canyon or something like that. But for a feature film, we saw Star Trek Into Darkness on IMAX, And
we did.
And it felt claustrophobic. It felt like everybody was too close to me.
Yeah,
and I was at the back. We were in the manager's seats, you know? And you sit there and go, this doesn't feel right. I just feel way too close to everything.
We saw Top Gun there as well.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that wasn't too bad. But the 3D sucked.
But that was a highway to the danger zone.
There's something to me about how they frame movies in that IMAX ratio that I really like.
It's 65 mil.
No, but it still has a much bigger ratio. And the way some filmmakers use that is really interesting to me. Like, I think Francis Lawrence used it really well here. Like, if you weren't paying attention, like, you'd miss certain things that are happening in the left hand, the right hand corner.
But here's another problem is from where you're sitting in an IMAX seat, there's one shot in particular, I think I know the one you're talking about. Mm. Big wide vista of the games. And right in the bottom corner, you can see them coming out onto the beach. Mm. The problem is there's that railing around the front of the screen.
That's the Dying Harbor IMAX story.
And you can't see past the railing. And so you're sitting there going, who's that behind there?
That's a safety railing, David.
That's in case you want to go to the bathroom, right? Like,
if you didn't have that safety railing, people would be diving right into the screen.
There you go.
It's like those people that still wave their hands when the movie starts in 3D. You know, like, oh, I can touch it.
No, actually, what gets me is that IMAX one in particular, and this is the Darling Harbour one, people are always taking photos of the screen. They go, oh, look, it's Tom Hiddleston's face. And it's just like, people, your phone still fits in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to get perspective on this thing. It's still, stop taking photos. People, full stop. Stop taking photos in cinemas, people. Mm. This is my rant for the week. People who bring their kids to the cinema and then turn around and take photos of their kids sitting in the cinema as though this is like, hey, look, my kids are doing something really special. I couldn't take it to Disneyland, but I'm turning the, I don't know how to turn the flash off in a cinema either. So, boom. So you get these little flashes going off. You often get it in a Johnny Depp film.
Yeah.
I've actually noticed that. I went down to see...
And in Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious. Yeah, I actually went down to see one of the Pirates of the Caribbean years ago at one of those open-air cinema things.
Yeah,
and it was the one that they have down at Lady Macquarie's chair.
Movies by Moonlight.
Is it the Moonlight or the other one?
Yeah.
Open air. And then it was down by the water and it was a bit windy that night. So you're getting a bit of nice spray off the ocean watching it. But every time Johnny Depp, sure, 1,000 cameras went up to take photos of him.
He's not like, really there. Do they? They do know that, don't they?
Yeah, it's like you can get better quality photos off the internet of him from Pirates of the Caribbean. Just pause your DVD, people.
It's like when people applaud at the end of a film. Like
I still do that.
I still do that.
But that's,
it's just polite.
But they're not there to hear you.
No, but it's an appreciation thing. Mm. If the film is really good, you applaud.
Mm.
Because remember,
do that by sitting through the credits, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. If a tree was applauding in the woods.
All right, so we're going to actually instigate a rating system for this show for movies. It's going to be out of 5, 3 being average, 1 being awful, 5 being unmissable, and everything in between.
So how many
bows and arrows are we
getting? I was going to say, how many girls on fire?
There you go. How many girls on fire are you giving this? How many girls on fire?
3.5, 4 maybe.
I'd say exactly the same.
Three and a half to four is the general consensus here. It's an above average, good entertainment.
Good character development this time around, and
better than the first time. Yeah. It's an all round better film than the first
one. And that Josh Hutcherson is dreamy.
If the next Hunger Games has Stanley Tucci in the Hunger Games themselves, I will be there.
Can we just talk about those teeth? They always put the dentures in him and he just takes on that person.
It should be like Stanley Tucci, Elizabeth Banks, and Philip Seymour Hoffman in the Hunger Games themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, and Donald Sutherland.
And guest starring Stanley Tucci's teeth.
Yeah. We actually find out that they're a separate entity. They're sentient.
Yeah, they're sentient.
And they'll attack him when he's not looking.
It's like that poison fog that.
Yeah. Which conveniently washes off and spares their pretty faces.
So go out and see it. It is worth having a look at. It's not the greatest film ever made, but it's okay. It's above average. It's fun.
Well, okay. Put it this way. If Hunger Games, the first movie, is half as good as this one, then does that not mean that the third movie has the potential to be 3 times as good?
It does have that potential.
So yeah, that's my thing. I'm going to wait until the next
I would like to see...
And there's 2 of them, so imagine...
So what we should be seeing is 4 to 4.5 stars for number 4 or 3,
and then
5 stars for number 4.
And the number 4 will be so good that we'll just like... There'll be this aura surrounding us all. Angels will come down and there'll be some cathartic moment.
Like
we'll be enlightened at that very moment.
Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan, guys. We, there definitely must be aliens.
All I can say is Hunger Games Part 3, the movie that is going to be so good, we have to see it twice.
Yeah. We've already been going for almost 40 minutes. Do you want to go straight into the quiz?
I think we may have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do we have to talk about?
Oh, just some Doctor Who.
We've got to do Doctor Who.
Okay, quickly do Doctor Who.
BBC One. Now, here's Doctor Who.
And that's enough Doctor Who. All right, so
we played the theme. Yeah, look, I actually went back to the cinema and watched Day of the Doctor again.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So Susan and I went along to see that because we loved the hell out of it. That's great. And the audience, even on, like, this was like the Tuesday or the Wednesday or something, and there were obviously people in there who still hadn't seen it.
Oh, wow.
And it was still packed audience. This is 3 days afterwards. It's still packed cinema. People were still, you know, the whole thing throughout, which is, it was wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful seeing that audience again and all those moments that were just great. I won't spoil because Mr. Longo is planning to actually watch from Eccleston onwards and he said he doesn't want any spoilers, but...
Don't listen to last week's episode.
No.
I did. I got like 10 minutes in and I
good for you.
But in my marathon, I'm now about 330 odd episodes in, 340, something like that. I've lost count.
I admire you so much.
Yeah, no, I was saying to Richard before the show, I couldn't believe that that was how many episodes.
Yeah, there's 799 is the total. There'll be 800 by Christmas.
I am in awe, sir.
Well, I'm up to, I've just, Joe Grant has just left. In The Green Death, which was the one with the giant maggots, if you remember that one.
Yeah, I remember
in
that.
Wales. And I'm just watching the very first Sarah Jane Smith episode. Excellent. With the Sontarans. So,
oh, this is about where
this
I came
is where
in.
You came in.
Yeah, yeah, this is where I came in.
So they've gone back in time and there's a Sontaran there offering to give...
He's
like,
wearing his wet look suit.
Yeah. The Green Death was interesting, though, because there was two moments in there. One where... John Pertwee sneaks into the heavily guarded place dressed as a Welsh milkman with a moustache and everything. And then when he's in there, he has to change because they've worked out that he's the milkman. And he goes in drag and he's like, you know, Doris the cleaning lady or something. And he goes, oh, hello. it's weird, man. But it's great. Talk about departures. Brian, you know, barely shed a tear for Brian. But Jo Grant leaving, even though I knew she was leaving and I'd seen the episode before, it's such a touching moment where she leaves because the Doctor just gets back in his little car and they're all having a party because she's about to get married and go off and he just goes outside, closes the door, gets in his car and drives off by himself. Yeah. I'm a bit emotional now talking about it. Pick up the quiz.
All right, Longo, the moment has come.
All right.
Fire it up for us.
I don't have the theme on me, unfortunately. Oh, I think we got to hear maybe.
Oh, God, where is the quiz?
You're listening to a quiz.
We'll do a little bit of Doctor Who for the quiz. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's
do it.
It's time for David's quiz.
Sorry, guys. That was my fault. I thought I had it loaded on the iPad, I didn't.
We're gonna make a single repository for all sound clips. I think
they killed Brian. I can't believe it.
We have too many soundboards in this room. That's the problem.
Okay, we all watched a lot of sitcoms in the '90s, didn't we?
Oh, I watch a lot of sitcoms now.
Okay, so this is '90s sitcom themes.
Oh, okay,
first to buzz in.
First time. Yeah. They only go for about 4 or 5 seconds each. So
okay,
we'll go that way.
Cheers.
I'm just going to let it keep rolling, I guess. Your way in the world today, it
takes everything you've got. That's cool. Oh,
Married
with
Children.
Yeah. Feel that way every day.
Roseanne.
Oh, quick off the mark with that one. God. All right.
Seinfeld.
What's the deal with these?
Have you heard the original Seinfeld film?
The Simpsons.
Family Guy, obviously. Oh. Fresh Prince?
Fresh Prince.
Oh,
yeah.
In West Philadelphia.
Oh, Home Improvement.
Home Improvement. Yeah, Home Improvement.
I love you like I do. Tell me
mad
who.
About you.
Mad about you. You.
Stop my great heart show. Loves you. Tell me all your secrets and I'll tell you most of mine.
Oh. Oh, Frasier.
Frasier.
Hey, baby, I hear the
kids started in with the...
Well, you're doing Cheers, you're going to do Frasier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite stylish.
We're tight. Weird Science.
Oh, Friends!
Mine!
It's back where it belongs. All the little kids growing up on the skids are going Cleveland Rocks. Cleveland Rocks.
I don't know.
Don't know that one?
No.
No.
That's the Drew Carey Show.
Oh! Yeah!
And we got one more.
Oh, everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Still watching repeats of that on TV.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the quiz.
Oh, well, there you go. Well,
that was
like a trip down memory lane.
I think
it?
I knew so many things because I watched so much TV One on Foxtel.
Like, respect to Richard. You got every one of them straight away.
He was so fast off the mark. It was like, can't keep up with you.
Oh, Roseanne was, I watched so much Roseanne. I thought that was a show that ran for ages that
I loved Roseanne.
That ended in a really good way. Mm. For a sitcom, it found a way to end and be true to the show, thought. And it was good. And actually be something a little bit clever and a bit different. And also dealt with death as well. Because for those of you who don't know, spoilers for a 10-year-old finale, the final season of Rose, I think in the penultimate season, it was John Goodman had a heart attack. And but then he was in the final season. We've actually got more time than I thought we did now. So we've got, and he had a heart attack. And then the penultimate, in the final season, he's there alive and they're doing stuff. And then the very final episode, it's revealed that Roseanne had been imagining that the whole time, that he actually did die when he had the heart attack, and she's just been trying to keep his memory alive, and she's pretending that he's there at all these key moments.
Oh.
And she wins the lottery at one stage.
And she wins the lottery, yeah. So it's kind of like, it was just a really great ending. It was a really, made even more emotional by the fact that you kind of finally did get the episode that John Goodman dies in, and then... You know, but and it's also a farewell to the episode and her and all the stuff happening at once. And it was a genuinely tear-jerky kind of finale. And that was just a bold way to end a show that had been so kind of matter-of-fact and, you know, for those however many years it was on the air.
It was a great show. It was, once again, subversive television, too.
Yeah, kind of done really well.
The family sitcom and kind of turned it on its head.
Kind of like, Married with Children sort of did that.
But really blatantly, whereas Roseanne was kind of like the Simpsons. So Married with Children was Family Guy, and Roseanne was like the Simpsons, in the sense that it was still this loving family in the end. The bottom line, when you got right down to it, was... that they were a cohesive family, and there was, whereas Married with Children, they were completely dysfunctional.
Makes you think like how many great shows there were in the 90s, like sitcoms in particular.
Yeah.
I know this is going to sound like a really old man thing to say, but I don't think that network sitcoms come anywhere close to the 90s, 80s and 90s, but non-network sitcoms are now kicking the ass of anything.
We have a couple still running at the moment. One of them is about to end, and it should end, which is
How
I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
And I think Modern Family is sharp as a tack.
That's
not
bad at all.
You know, and so you guys, there are a couple, but there's so much junk out there as well.
I suppose Big Bang Theory as well.
Oh, and Big Bang Theory is still pretty sharp.
I've watched the occasional episode. 9 years of Roseanne. There you go.
Nine?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it ran that long.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And Friends was 10, wasn't it?
Or 11, maybe? I know Cheers was, 11 or
Cheers
12?
Was about 11 or 12.
Cheers was 11, I'm pretty sure. And then you add Frasier onto that.
Mm. Seinfeld was 9.
Seinfeld was 9 and probably a couple too long.
Yeah, well, Mad About You was like 5.
Friends was 10 seasons. What was the other one? Cheers.
How long did Married with Children go for? That's like...
That actually ran way too long. Yeah. Its later seasons were not as sharp. It lost itself because it was a one-joke show. And once you got past the first couple of seasons, it started to grate.
That ran for 11 seasons.
Which one?
Married with Children.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have.
Yeah. That ran all the way up until...
In comparison, how long has How I Met Your Mother been going for? Nine?
It's in its ninth or tenth, and it's finishing this
year. That's still a pretty strong run, then. And same with Big Bang. That's
actually, no, it's nine. It's the ninth season. Nine seasons.
Yeah, this is season nine. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was 10.
I still think How I Met Your Mother is going okay, though.
It's 10 of Two and a Half Men.
That's probably what I'm thinking. I don't know why I'm thinking of that, but that's,
So Two and a Half Men's another one. Should have ended.
Are you still watching How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same here.
I'm watching because I want to see how it finishes now.
But I love The Mother. I think The Mother
She's not enough in it. She hasn't been in it enough yet. Although one of the greatest single sight gags of this year's sitcoms has got to be from that show where Lily basically puts in a standing order for her drink because she's having such a bad time at this resort.
Linus.
And Linus has been ordered to never let her be without a drink. And she keeps throwing her drinks or dropping her drinks. And Linus just appears out of nowhere and she goes, "Thank you, Linus."
And then, she smashes the glass every time.
Yeah.
And then they said recently, "We're running out of glasses.
We're running out of glasses." It's just no matter where she is, Linus comes out of nowhere and just gives her a drink.
So let me ask you a question about How I Met Your Mother. It's been narrated from 2030.
Yep.
Where at some stage, Josh Radnor starts to sound like Bob Saget.
Right.
Why don't they just run the show up until 2030? Like, just continuously. You only have to run it for another 17 seasons.
What I love is the fact that they keep showing the two kids, because it always starts with them at the beginning and him telling the story. What I love is the fact that it's the same footage.
Yeah.
Because they obviously just shot, an hour's worth of these kids sitting on the couch.
They have shot the reactions.
And the reactions. And basically, because the girl is the girlfriend from Kick-Ass, from the movie Kick-Ass.
Right, the first one.
And she's still as young as she was now as she was 9 years ago. So they've obviously pre-shot all this stuff, and they just keep cutting, because they never say a word. They just kind of nod. And
whatever. Have you heard about how they're doing?
I think it'd be funnier if they just have different kids every time they come back.
Oh, vacation style.
Yeah.
Have you heard how they're thinking of a sitcom, a sequel kind of thing, a spin-off, How I Met Your Father?
Really?
And this is so funny.
This is a bad idea already.
I had the same exact idea 2 years ago. If they ever end it, how they should end it is that...
Let me tell you How I Met Your Father.
No. He finishes the story to the...
And now you're tearing down the street.
I hate this idea.
No, he finishes the story to his kids, and that's the second last episode. Then the last episode begins with the mother going, "And now I'll tell you how I met your father." And then she tells the story in 15 minutes.
That would be pretty funny, actually.
And then the kids go, "Oh, why did it take you so long?" Yeah. That's how I would end it. So I'm hoping something like that happens. How would you guys end it?
I would roll credits.
And that's how I met her.
If it was me, I'd take 10 years to meet the mother. In the final episode, you'd think you're about to meet the mother and you never do. That's how I would end that. Because I'm a bastard.
Do you know how frustrated your audience would be?
Yeah.
Do you know how I'm going to end it, though? I'm going to say...
No, I would end it with him with Josh Radnor headbutting a mirror trying to get Bob out of his system. And then come back in a couple of years and make How I Met Your Mother Fire Walk with Me.
And on that note...
Wait, we haven't got an episode title yet.
No.
And How I Met Your Mother Fire Walk with Me.
We should call this episode the series finale.
The series finale. Because then people go, are they pod fading?
No, but that's all be funny. Next week we're back.
I just want to throw out there. We got a couple of minutes. I just want to throw out there a little bit of information. I'm going to go through and dig up more of this as we reach our 100th episode of Behind the Panels and so forth. But I recently was looking at our statistics, and not the download statistics, but just what we've made, what we've done.
Yeah, we don't look at those download statistics because no one's listening.
Nobody ever listens to us. But I just thought it was really interesting. But just throw out there really quickly that I added up all of the episodes, put it all together, and found out that in the last 6 years we have managed to record 430 something episodes of shows, and if you put it all together, it's 21 days worth of listening.
That's for those of you who go for really, really, really long jogging sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. To put it in the context, because it doesn't sound so much when you say 21 days, but you put it in context, 480 something hours, I think it works out to, which is really something else.
Yeah, you've wasted a lot of your life.
I have wasted a lot of my life on this. And I just
Why are we successful?
For those people who sit there, for those people who have come to this show and gone, "Oh, it's only episode 4, these guys must be new." We're not that new. No. We've been kicking around for a while here. But on that note, we're going to wrap this up because it is pushing the end of our show. Richard, where can people find more of you on the internet?
On the internet, they can find me on Twitter at DVDBits. They can find me at TheRealBits.com or BehindThePanels.net.
And in the real world on a street corner, right?
Yeah. with a little cup full of coins, shaking it, trying to convince people that my dancing act is making money.
And Dave Longo.
DamnGoodCup.com and on Twitter at Dave Longo.
And you can find me at geekactually.com, where you can also find this show. Please drop us a rating on iTunes if you have downloaded this show from iTunes. Now, if you actually are downloading the Geek Actually Superfeed, that's fine, and we love you for that. But this show also has its own feed, and some ratings and some stars and so forth on that feed will help put it to the front, and then people will find it, and more people will listen.
And if you're listening to Behind the Panels, you'll know that we read out those ratings.
And we read them out, absolutely. So please go ahead and put a rating on there for us. That really helps us out. It doesn't take much of your time, and it's free. It doesn't help you. It doesn't, you know, impact you in any way. You can also find me on Twitter at David McVeigh. We are going to go out this week with the theme from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just because purely I love this theme.
You already played that.
I played a little bit of it. Now I'm going to play the rest of it. So, guys, we'll see you all next week. What are we doing next week? We haven't got any idea for a show. No,
we'll just go back to our regular nonsense.
Yeah, we'll make it up as we go along. Sounds good. All right.
Orgasm Wars 2.
Yes. Vaginal knitting?
Yeah, look, I found this. I don't know even what it is. I haven't watched the video. I might watch it sometime in the next week and find out what vaginal knitting's all about.
And we'll do that next week. Absolutely. Yeah. So next week, look forward to vaginal knitting. And for this week, bye, everybody.